Good morning. Good to be in the Lord's house again this morning. Amen. Amen. If you want to be turning to 2 Chronicles chapter number 12 is where we're going to begin this morning. 2 Chronicles chapter number 12. And I want to say I appreciate all the everything the church has done for us. Amen. I appreciate the support. Appreciate the meals this week. Amen. The fellowship. And it's all been wonderful. Amen.
Amen.
And I thank the Lord for giving us a good marathon. Amen. Didn't have the end result that we would like to have had necessarily, but we're thankful for what the Lord did do. Amen.
Yes, amen.
And maybe some more will come in as the days goes along. Amen.
Amen.
And ease the burden some on the church. Amen. But we are glad to be here with us. As Daddy said, do pray for Brother Kuhn this morning as he preaches there at Larned. And then pray for us as we travel back tomorrow. Amen. All right, 2 Chronicles chapter number 12 and verse number 1. I'll just read a couple verses here. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and had strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him." Now look down in verse number 12. Bible says, and when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him, that he would not destroy him altogether. And in Judah, things went well. Now, that's just not some human penman saying, "I think things went pretty good." This is God saying, things went well. Right?
Amen.
Things went well, but look at verse 13. So King Rehoboam strengthened himself. That's the same thing he said in verse 1. In Jerusalem. And reigned, for Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there, and his mother's name was Naamah the Ammonitess. And he did evil, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. And so I want to look here at the life of Rehoboam for a few minutes and think about it and try to make some applications to our lives. Amen. And try to think about this. I want to think about how Rehoboam had all the ability, all the preparation to be a great man. And yet the Bible says he did evil.
Right.
Even though a lot of things he did was great. But he did evil. Why? Because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Amen. So Lord, help us to prepare our heart to seek him. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this opportunity, Lord, to preach your word. And Lord, we realize that these men in the Bible were given to us for an example. Lord, not just so we would know about the history of Israel and of Judah, but Lord, so that we could gain instruction from their lives and see what you would have for us too from their lives. Lord, we pray that you'd help us to do that this morning, Rehoboam. And Lord, that you would just move in a mighty way here this morning. I pray you'd help Brother Moyes as he preaches a little bit later on. Lord, you'd give him your message for the hour as well, Lord. And that you would help each one of us, Lord, to not just be hearers of the word, but to be doers. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. Appreciate you standing to honor the reading of God's Word. Amen. As I said, thinking about Rehoboam here, we read here in verse number 13, the Bible says that Rehoboam was 41 years old when he began to reign. And if you remember in the Bible, Rehoboam is the son of Solomon. Rehoboam is the grandson of David. And he was privileged in many ways. That's the word I was trying to think of earlier. He is privileged because he grew up as the son of the wisest man in the world.
Right.
Not just in his day, but in any day besides the Lord Jesus.
Right.
Amen. Rehoboam grew up with a father that had much wisdom. I mean, we think about all of this. We think about the book of Proverbs. Solomon wrote the book of wisdom, the book of Proverbs, to his son. And I don't know which son exactly it was, but I imagine probably be a pretty good assumption to think it might have been the son that's going to follow him as king. Not only did Rehoboam have a great father, but God gave his father words to write down so that he would have more wisdom.
Right.
Amen. Think about the privilege that he had to be the son of Solomon and to have a book of the Bible written directly to him.
Amen.
Amen. And yet, we see what he did with it. Now, he wasn't a wicked man. He wasn't a evil man. But he didn't do good, and so therefore he did evil.
Right?
There's a difference. Some people say, well, as long as you're not immoral, then you're okay. No, there's two different parts of that. There is morality and there's character.
Right.
And having both is integrity.
Amen.
And God wants us to have both. Amen. Not just not do what's wrong, but do what's right. Amen. And Rehoboam did not prepare his heart to seek the Lord. Amen. I hope that you prepared your heart this morning to seek the Lord. Amen. And we need to do that, not just show up and say, Lord, use the preacher to straighten me out. But Lord, I want to prepare my heart to be in a place where I can receive the message that the Lord have for me for today. Amen. I believe God speaks to each one of us, or desires to speak to each one of us in every message that we hear. Amen. And so, Lord, help us to be receptive to that. Rehoboam here had Solomon for a dad, but he also had David as his grandpa.
Yes, sir.
A wonderful privilege that it was to be the grandson of the great King David. Now, if you remember, Saul reigned in Israel for 40 years. And then David reigned for 40 years. And then Solomon reigned for 40 years, right? And the Bible says that Rehoboam reigned for, 17 years in Jerusalem? But he began when he was 41 years old. So that, if I understand that correctly, Rehoboam would have been 1 year old when David died. So he probably does not remember his grandfather. All he remembers is his dad being king. If you remember, David had a desire to build a house of God. And God said, no, because you're a bloody man. David was constantly, he spent 7 years running from Saul. And then he spent quite a few years fighting, 7 years I believe it was, as king in Hebron and before he went to Jerusalem. So he had several years of fighting. And then once he became king over all Israel, he was fighting all the nations around Israel. Right? And God blessed David, and David enlarged the kingdom and all of this, but it wasn't without pain.
Right.
David fought and fought and fought for the kingdom. And then God granted, of course, God told Solomon after David died, God told Solomon to ask anything you want to, and I'll give it to you. And Solomon asked for wisdom. And God said, because you didn't ask for peace, you didn't ask for prosperity, you didn't ask for all these things, I'm going to give you all of it.
That's right.
He gave him wisdom, he gave him peace, he gave him prosperity. During the 40 years of Solomon, there was almost no wars. There was prosperity. Everything's going great. And you got a man, young man growing up, he sees his dad as the great king of Israel, the wisest man. You think about all these other kings from all around the world and queens come to visit Solomon to admire him for his wisdom and for his prosperity. As the richest nation in the world at that time was Israel. But there's no wars. There's no fighting. He sees the privilege of the kingdom, but he doesn't see the wars that was fought to get there. And ain't that the case with a lot of people today? Young people grow up and they grow up in a good church where the battles have been fought and everything's been going, and they don't see all that, right? And they just think everything's always going to be great and easy and going along, and it's not. There's battles to be fought. Somebody has fought so that we could have what we have today. Amen. Somebody has given their life for that. Amen. And so Rehoboam grows up not knowing the fights and the struggles. All he knows is daddy's on the throne and everything's going great. And then he inherits the throne and everything doesn't go great. Right? He has trouble. Actually, from the very beginning, he has trouble. Now, we understand that God said, because of Solomon's sin of marrying all these women and bringing their gods in, into the temple, into the holy place, God was going to take the kingdom from David and give it to somebody else, but not all 12 tribes, just the northern 10 tribes. And God already picked out the man that's going to do that, Jeroboam. And if I get those mixed up, you have to forgive me. There's a Jeroboam and a Rehoboam, right? I'll try to keep them straight. But Jeroboam's in the north and Rehoboam's in the south.
Right.
Rehoboam is the son of Solomon. Jeroboam's not. But God raised up Jeroboam to judge Israel because of their sin. And Jeroboam came and set up a golden calf in Beersheba. Was it Beersheba? No, it was Dan. And where I don't remember the second one. But in the southern part of the northern kingdom, he set up a golden calf. And then in the northern part, he set up a golden calf. And his idea was, if we allow the children of God to go to Jerusalem like God said to do, to worship, then they'll go down to Jerusalem. That's where Rehoboam's at.
Right.
And they'll see the blessing of God on the southern kingdom. And they will want to follow Rehoboam and not me. So even though God gave him the kingdom, Jeroboam didn't feel like God was going to be able to keep him in the kingdom, right?
Yeah.
Jeroboam felt like even though he didn't have, Jeroboam had to work to get the kingdom, but it was because God gave it to him, that God allowed him to have it. But Jeroboam thought, I got the kingdom because God gave it to me, but I'm going to keep it because of my ingenuity. I've got to figure out a way to make sure that I don't lose what God's given me.
Uh-huh.
And we got to be careful if that becomes our mindset.
Right.
We got to use the mind and use the flesh to keep what God's given us.
Mm.
Amen. A lot of churches are operating in the flesh today to try to keep what they think God's given them.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
But Jeroboam did that, and he did wickedly. Daddy preached a message about how many, 400 or 300 or 600, how many years it was after Jeroboam died, every time God mentioned Jeroboam, he still said, who sinned and who caused Israel to sin.
That's right.
Every time. Now, the same thing is going to be said in a smaller detail about Rehoboam.
Right.
But Rehoboam is not Jeroboam. Rehoboam's not a wicked man. Rehoboam's not setting up false gods. Rehoboam's still worshiping the true God.
Amen.
Amen. But God said he did evil. Right? Sometimes we're happy that we're not as bad as the other person.
Right.
Amen. Or we want to make comparisons. Well, at least they're not as bad as this one.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good enough.
No.
Amen. That's not good enough for us. Not good enough for anybody. Amen. God wants us to wholeheartedly follow after Him.
Amen.
A lot of times we get to the place where we're satisfied with ourselves because we can find somebody that's doing worse than we are.
There you go.
And you can always find somebody that's not following the Lord as good as you are.
Right.
Amen? You can always find that. It doesn't mean that you're following the Lord. Amen?
Right.
So I'm sure that Rehoboam was given the best education that he could have. And yet he didn't follow the Lord like he should have. It's interesting that God blessed Solomon with peace, but then when Rehoboam comes into power, the Bible says that he fought with Israel all the days of his life. At the very beginning, he wanted to fight and bring Israel back under his control, and God said, don't do that, and he didn't. But then it says he fought all the time after that. So there was a space of time where he didn't, but then there come a day pretty soon when I don't know if he attacked Jeroboam or Jeroboam attacked him, but whatever happened, they was at war with each other constantly. God gave his father peace. God didn't give him peace. Amen. And we have to realize that peace does come from the Lord. Amen.
Right.
And it is, whether or not we have it, a lot of times is based on our actions.
Right.
Amen? That's the way it was with Rehoboam. So I want to look at a couple things here, some flaws here in Rehoboam. And again, I say this, I think God has given us these men in the Bible. I like doing character studies, and I think it's good. God's given us these men in the Bible, not so that we can know the history of the world or the history of Israel, but so that we can know what God would have for us to know about our lives.
Right.
Paul said they're all given to us as in samples.
Yep.
Amen. And would help us to see ourselves in this in some way. Amen. So, as we study the life of Rehoboam, we'll quickly understand that his life is a lesson of privilege, of pride, and of judgment. Amen. But this is not because Rehoboam was a wicked heathen. It's because under whom much is given, much is required.
That's right.
Rehoboam had been given so much.
Yes.
And he didn't decide, I'm just going to serve the devil. But he said, I'm not going to serve God with all of my heart.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give God my best. Romans 12 says, present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's not unreasonable for God to ask us to give everything that we have to Him. Amen. That's not unreasonable. Amen. So, in other words, the least that we can do for the Lord in light of all He's done for us is to give Him our best.
Amen.
Amen. We just sing the song sometimes, I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus?
Amen.
Amen. That's a good question to ask. I think we can see that Rehoboam did not give the Lord his best. I want to see, first of all, the problem with his commencement. Look back in chapter number 10. It's when Rehoboam first came into power. Verse number 1. And Rehoboam went to Shechem, for to Shechem were all Israel come to make him king. And it came to pass, so this is before the division of the kingdom. And it came to pass when Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who was in Egypt, whether he had fled from the presence of Solomon the king, heard it, that Jeroboam returned out of Egypt. Now, let me stop right there just a moment and say this. The northern kingdom, Jeroboam's going to become king. He's hid in Egypt because Solomon found out that God was going to give it to Jeroboam, and he's fleeing for his life, right? He fled down into Egypt, and he submitted himself under the king of Egypt,
right?
And when he comes back, Egypt helps him some, okay? When he gets back, he makes golden calves. Where did he find that out at?
Right.
He brought Egypt back with him.
Yep.
Amen. Yeah. And somebody said you can... You can get out of Egypt, but it's hard to get Egypt out of you. Amen.
Yeah.
And we see that in Lot's life. We see that here in Jeroboam's life. Verse number 3, and they sent and called him. So Jeroboam and all Israel came and spake to Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore ease thou somewhat the grievous servitude of thy father and his heavy yoke that he put upon us, and we will serve thee. Now we know Jeroboam knows that he's going to be king in the northern tribe. God's already told him that. So I don't know exactly all of that was involved with this. He promised to serve him. I don't think he was lying about that. But he probably, I don't know if he knew what was going to happen. But either way, he said, he's speaking on behalf of the children of Israel. Your father was rich, had a rich nation, but the way he did it was through overtaxation, right? And they're willing to serve Solomon because of his great wisdom, but not his son to the same extent they were. They said, give us some reprieve from the burden. Look in verse number 5. And he said unto them, come again unto me after 3 days. I think Rehoboam must have learned something from his daddy. That's wisdom. He didn't just answer him. Well, here's my answer. No, he said, give me a little bit of time, and I'll give you an answer. Not only did he ask for time, but he asked for counsel. Look in verse number 6. And King Rehoboam took counsel with the old men that had stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, saying, what counsel give ye me to return answer to this people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou be kind to this people and please them, and speak good words to them, they will be thy servants forever. So here's what Rehoboam did. He said, I've got a problem. The people want less taxes. They want less of a burden. And he said, I'm going to ask the men who have given my father advice and see what they think about this. Now, I don't know how he's talking about the old men that had advised Solomon, stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived. So Solomon is the wisest king or the wisest man on the earth. How would you like for your job to be to give wisdom to the wisest man on earth? That'd be a lot of pressure. And if you give them bad advice, you're probably going to be killed. I don't think that Solomon kept around unwise counselors. These men are very wise. And Rehoboam said, I need to find out what they think about this. That's wise. Amen? But then look what he says. Verse number 8, if you go back to 1 Kings 12, you'll find, I believe that, here in verse 8, he says, but he forsook the counsel. I don't think he forsook it outright at the beginning. He got both counsels, and then he decided to forsake the older men's counsel. But in 1 Kings 12:13, he says he answered them roughly. He was rude and rough with his language. Verse number 8, but he forsook the counsel which the old men gave him and took counsel with the young men that were brought up with him, that stood before him, and said unto them, what advice give ye that we may return answer this people which have spoken to me, saying, ease somewhat the yoke that thy father did put upon us. And the young men that were brought up with him spake unto him, saying, thus thou shalt thou answer the people that spake unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, but make thou it somewhat lighter for us. Thus shalt thou say unto them, my fingers shall be thicker than my father's loins, whereas my father put a heavy yoke upon you, I will put more to your yoke. My father chastened you with whips, but I will chasten you with scorpions. Amen. So Rehoboam said, I need to find out some advice from some people that are a little bit closer to my age, a little bit closer. They grew up with me. They know me better. Right? And he forsook the counsel of the old men who were wise.
Right.
And we're seeing that a lot in our day, ain't we?
Yes, we are.
People forsaking what preachers have preached for 30, 40, 50 years.
Right.
To take unproven counsel. Amen? These men didn't say, here's a verse of scripture, this is why you need to do this. They didn't say that. Right? They said, this is what we want to do. This is what you should do.
Right.
Amen?
Yeah.
It's one thing if somebody has a scriptural reason for doing something. Somebody said this, just because we've always done it don't mean it's a good idea. But just because there's a new idea don't mean that's good either.
That's right.
If you have a new idea or an old idea, the old idea probably should have a little more weight to it than the new one, right?
Yes.
Unless there's a scriptural reason. Amen?
Right.
And there's a lot of things we do that we just always have done that's not really scriptural, and we shouldn't just always do that, right? But there's a problem when we want to reject everything that our forefathers have done just because they did it.
Yeah. Right.
Amen? And Rehoboam said, I know it worked for my daddy, but I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, come on.
I know these men have never given my dad bad advice, but I'm not going to listen to what they say today.
Yeah.
Right? I want to listen to somebody my own age. Let me just say this. We have a lot of young people here. I'm thankful for that. Amen. If you are wanting to court somebody or marry somebody that your mama or your daddy does not approve of, especially if they're serving the Lord,
right,
it's not a good idea.
Yep.
If you want to do something that your pastor does not approve of, it's probably not a good idea.
Right.
God, you say, well, we don't follow men. I understand that. We're supposed to follow the man of God.
Right.
We're supposed to follow those that are the elders that serve well. Amen. We're supposed to follow those that God has given in authority over us. We're supposed to follow, unless there's a reason not to, we're supposed to do it. Amen.
Amen.
And so I just be very careful saying, well, we got a Bible too. Well, we do have a Bible, and we are supposed to seek out whether these things are so. We don't do that. in where he talks about that in the book of Acts, about the Thessalonians, the Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica because they received the word of God and searched the scriptures daily to see whether these things were so. The emphasis on that is that they received the word of God. Those in Thessalonica did not receive the word of God. They received it and then they searched to see if these things were so. And so I'm going to believe this unless I see it in the scriptures that it's not so. I'm going to believe what I hear from the word of God and from the people that God has placed in authority in my life. Amen. I believe that. It's a dangerous road to just totally reject everything that the authorities that God's placed in our lives is saying. Amen. Amen. We see some good things here, but we see some bad things. Now, look, not only the problem with his commencement, but the problem with his character. Look in chapter 12, verse number 1. We read this already. Bible says, and it came to pass, when Rehoboam had established the kingdom and strengthened himself, he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. I notice, first of all, it says, and it came to pass. That phrase is connected to the last phrase. It came to pass, he forsook the law of the Lord. Right? What that means, it came to pass, means it didn't start out this way. He started out following the law of the Lord. He started out living according to God's will for his life. But it didn't stay that way. It is important how that we begin.
Yep.
But it's more important how that we end.
Amen.
Amen. Rehoboam started right, but it didn't end right.
Yep.
Notice what he says. This verse really gives us a lot of information about the character of Rehoboam. He says, it came to pass when Rehoboam had established the kingdom. He had established the kingdom. He was crowned king. He's got all of his advisors in place. All of his administration is there. He's in control of the kingdom. He's not just ruling his dad's kingdom anymore. Now it's become his kingdom, right? It says he strengthened himself. Now, we need to be strong in the Lord. Amen. We need to strengthen ourselves in the Lord. I don't believe that's what this verse is talking about. Look back, if you would, in chapter 11, verse number 17. Well, let's go back. We know what happened with Jeroboam. He forsook the Lord, brought in the golden calves that he had seen in Egypt. And so those in the northern kingdom that were wanting to serve the Lord said, this ain't right. And those, we have to remember that I believe at all times through the history of the nation of Israel, there have been more Jews that don't believe the Word of God than that did. So when we read this, we think that everybody in Israel was serving the Lord and they had some wicked kings. No, that's not the way it is. That's not the way it is in our land. The reason we have wickedness in high places is because we have wickedness all across the land. Amen. So here in verse number 13 in chapter 11, and the priests and the Levites that were in all Israel resorted to him, to who? The Rehoboam, out of all their coast. For the Levites left their suburbs and their possession and came to Judah and Jerusalem, for Jeroboam and his sons had cast them all from executing the priest's office unto the Lord, and he ordained him priest for the high places and for the devils and for the calves which he had made. So Jeroboam decided we don't need the Levites. We'll make our own priest, right? So he did that. So the priest that wanted to serve the Lord faithfully, they said, we're not going to stand for this.
Right.
And they left Israel and went to Judah, to Jerusalem.
Right.
And so now you have Rehoboam, who is the king of Jerusalem. And he's not only the son of Solomon, the grandson of David. He's the rightful king. He's the one God said the sons of David rule throughout all eternity, so forever. And so they he's the right king. The north only had terrible kings, only had wicked kings. The south had some good kings. And he's in the right place, all of this. But now, because of the actions of the king in the north, all of these that want to serve the Lord faithfully are now coming to him. So worship is being done right in Jerusalem. They don't have any golden calves in Jerusalem. They're serving the Lord. Right? And all those that are faithful to serve the Lord, those priests come there, and the Bible continues on, verse number 16, and after them, after these priests, out of all the tribes of Israel, such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel. Notice that phrase? That's the same phrase that said that Rehoboam did not do.
Right.
He didn't set his heart to seek the Lord.
Right.
But these people did. They determined there was nothing more important in their life than being right with God. Serving the Lord. Amen. Such as set their hearts to seek the Lord God of Israel came to Jerusalem to sacrifice unto the Lord God of their fathers. So they strengthened the kingdom of Judah and made Rehoboam the son of Solomon strong 3 years. For 3 years they walked in the way of David and Solomon. So verse 1 of chapter 12 says, and it came to pass. That is after the 3 years. For 3 years they did right. But the point that I wanted to see here in verse 17, they strengthened the kingdom. They made Rehoboam strong. How did they make him strong? By being faithful to the Lord. By serving the Lord with all their heart. Now Rehoboam's wanting to make Judah great again. Amen. He's wanting to strengthen himself. He's not going and trying to get people to serve the Lord to make it great. He's trying to strengthen himself. Right? You see that? Notice in verse number 11 of chapter 11. And he fortified the strongholds and put captains in them and store of victual and of oil and wine. And in every several city he put shields and spears and made them exceeding strong, having Judah and Benjamin on his side. In verse number 5, it says, and Rehoboam dwelt in Jerusalem and built cities for defense in Judah. He built even Bethlehem. He goes on down these other cities. These cities, it's not that there was no city there and he built them. No, that's not what he's talking about. I don't know exactly what's going on here, but I do know that Solomon has had peace throughout his days. Solomon has built himself a palace. Solomon has built the temple. The glorious temple of Solomon. Right?
Yes, sir.
Beautiful. And now Rehoboam comes on and Solomon is known for Solomon's temple. Solomon is known for all these beautiful places and these wonderful things that he did. But what's Rehoboam going to be known for? He has to do something, and so he builds cities. He builds defense cities, fortified strongholds, captains. He's doing something to build a name for himself. That's what he's talking about. He strengthened himself. I believe that reveals to us his pride.
Right.
He wanted something to be named after him.
Yep.
He wanted something for him to be remembered. Instead of preparing his heart to seek the Lord, he's preparing his heart to build a name for himself. Amen. Amen. The problem with his character. He strengthened himself. And then the Bible says he strayed from the Word of God. He forsook the law of the Lord. He forsook the law. He forsook the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says, thy Word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Right? It reveals the direction that God would have for us to go. You'll find God's will in God's Word. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, by straying from the Word of God, by forsaking the Word of God, he wasn't going out and reading the Koran,
right.
But he wasn't obeying the Word of God.
Right.
Amen. A lot of times we feel like we're doing pretty good because we're a Christian.
Yeah.
We're a Baptist.
Yeah.
But the Bible stays on the shelf.
Yeah.
Amen. We've forsaken the Word of God.
Yep.
Amen. And it's going to cause not strength, but weakness.
Yes.
Amen. He strayed from the Word of God. By doing that, he said, really what he's saying by his actions is, I don't need the Lord. I don't need the Lord in my life. How many, we should, every morning we should recognize that we do need the Lord.
Amen.
And we need His Word. We need communication with Him through prayer and Bible reading. Amen.
Amen.
We need Him. He decided He did not need the Lord. He did not need the Lord's direction. It wasn't important to Him what the Lord wanted Him to do. And He didn't need the Lord's involvement. That's what we're saying when we forsake the law of the Lord. Amen. But notice he didn't just stray from the Word of God and strengthen himself in pride, but he steered others. He said he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel with him. Now this is the same nation that all the priests come to. And those that set their heart, not only the priests, but all those in the northern kingdom that decided we're going to serve the Lord with all of our heart, they said it'd be a lot easier for us to do that if we wasn't living under a wicked king.
Right.
If we go down to Jerusalem where they're still trying to serve the Lord, and they go down there and then Rehoboam decides we're not going to follow the Lord. Not with all of our heart. Did you know that your half-heartedness about serving the Lord affects others, not just yourself. Amen. When we're not totally committed to serving the Lord, it will affect others. Amen. Rehoboam here is a good example of a kind of man that God really cannot use. God chooses not to use somebody. The kind of person God wants to use is somebody that's completely sold out to Him. Amen. Recognize their dependence upon Him, desire to walk in obedience to Him. Amen. And so I ask the question, are you giving your very best to the Lord in the area of your character? Amen. And then let me move on quickly here. The problem with His chastisement. Look in verse number 2 of chapter 12. And it came to pass that in the fifth year. Okay, so let's back up just a moment. For the first 3 years he served the Lord. Then there came a time he decided it wasn't nearly as important to serve the Lord. So there's been 2 years that has went by that he hasn't totally served the Lord like he should have. God's judgment, somebody, who was it, preached on payday someday, said he doesn't always pay on Friday, but he does pay. There's a payday. Amen. Someday. Rehoboam, I don't think Rehoboam is going around saying, I'm getting away with this. He wasn't concerned about it. But judgment didn't come immediately. But it did come.
Right.
So it came to pass in verse 1, then it came to pass in verse 2. And if it ever comes to pass that we forsake the law of the Lord, it will come to pass that judgment is coming.
Right.
Amen. It came to pass that in the fifth year of King Rehoboam, Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem because they had transgressed against the Lord with 1,200 chariots and 70,000 horsemen, and the people were without number that came with him out of Egypt, the Lubims, the Succums, and the Ethiopians. And he took the fenced cities. He destroyed what Rehoboam had built for himself. He destroyed the pride of Rehoboam. He took the fenced cities which pertained to Judah and came to Jerusalem. Then came Shimei the prophet to Rehoboam and to the princes of Judah that were gathered together to Jerusalem because of Shishak, and said unto them, Thus saith the Lord, ye have forsaken me. And therefore have I also left you in the hand of Shishak. Whereupon the princes of Israel and the king humbled themselves. And they said, The Lord is righteous. And when the Lord saw that they humbled themselves, the word of the Lord came to Shimei, saying, They have humbled themselves. Therefore I will not destroy them, but I will grant them some deliverance.
Amen.
And my wrath shall not be poured out upon Jerusalem by the hand of Shishak. Nevertheless, they shall be his servants, that they may know my service and the service of the kingdoms of the countries. So here, one thing that's interesting to me, Jeroboam went down to Egypt, stayed in Egypt for several years. Then he comes back and he brings Egypt with him. He brings the influence of Egypt. And the people of Judah may have been saying, well, thank the Lord, we're not following after Egypt. Right. Egypt is not influencing us. But if Egypt, of course, is a type of sin. Egypt is a type of the world.
Yeah.
And even though You don't follow the world as your leader. If you determine, I'm not going to wholeheartedly serve the Lord, Egypt is going to play a role. Egypt came against their will. They didn't sign up to be under the service of Egypt like the northern kingdom did. But against their will, God brought Egypt to judge Judah.
That's right.
Amen. And I thank the Lord that he humbled himself and God gave him some reprieve.
Amen.
Amen. But these verses tells us about the transgressions of Rehoboam that resulted in the chastisement of the Lord. Somebody like Rehoboam that is, they're not living a wicked lifestyle. They're not saying that everything God says is wrong, but they're not wholeheartedly following the Word of God.
Uh-huh.
They've not prepared their heart to serve the Lord.
Right.
That kind of a life is going to lead to chastisement from God. Amen. Amen. Notice verse number 9. We didn't read that. So Shishak, king of Egypt, came up against Jerusalem and took away the treasures of the house of the Lord. And the treasures of the king's house. Not only did they take God's treasures, but they took the king's treasures.
Yeah.
He took all. He carried away also the shields of gold which Solomon had made. This is, if you compare this verse with Exodus 12, verse 35 and 36, where God told Moses to tell the children of Israel to go and spoil the Egyptians.
Yeah.
They took the gold and the silver and everything from the Egyptians to build the tabernacle later. But God allowed them to spoil the Egyptians, and then here God allowed the Egyptians to spoil them.
Right.
Amen. Everything we have, God's given to us.
Right.
And God can take it away anytime that He chooses to. Amen. He doesn't have to have our permission to do that. Amen. They did not follow Him. And so we learn that a life must be chastened by God. A life that must be chastened by God cannot be blessed by God. You can't live in the blessings of God and the chastisement of God. Amen. Amen. Because he refused to walk in the will of God, to follow the Word of God, he was guilty of giving less than his best to God.
That's right.
Amen. I believe that's the case. Amen. God saved us to use us for
Amen.
His will. Not so we can live whichever way we want to.
Right.
Amen. But so we can serve him. Now, number 4, I see the problem of his confusion. I just want to think about this. In chapter number 12, verse number 1, he forsook the law of the Lord. He forsook God's law. Verse number 6, he humbled himself. When the man of God told him, you're wrong, he didn't bow up against the man of God.
Right.
He said, you're right. When God sent somebody to reveal his sin to him, he said, you're right. I've not done what I should have done. He humbled himself. Look in verse number 10. We talk about these shields of gold. Verse number 10, instead of which King Rehoboam made shields of brass, committed them to the hands of the chief of the guard that kept the entrance of the king's house. He humbled himself before God and God gave him some reprieve, but then he wasn't willing to humble himself before men.
Right.
After he experienced the judgment of God, he wanted to come to church and act like there's no problem. Everything's just like it always has been. Never admitting the failure of his life. Amen.
Right.
And so God judged him again.
Yep.
Verse number 11, and when the king entered into the house of the Lord, the guard came and fetched him and brought them again into the guard chamber. And when he humbled himself, the wrath of the Lord turned from him that he would not destroy him altogether. And also in Judah, things went well. I believe what he's saying there by that phrase is that everything was not bad. It was not a terrible situation. Actually, things were going pretty good.
Amen.
The only problem was Rehoboam was not determined to serve the Lord.
Yeah.
And things may be going pretty good in your life. But if you're not serving the Lord, they ain't always going to be going pretty good.
Amen.
Amen. Even though things went well, the Bible says in verse number 14, he did evil.
Yeah.
I believe verse 14, verse number 13, tells us about how he strengthened himself again in Jerusalem and he reigned, and Rehoboam was 140 years old when he began to reign and reigned 17 years. So here it's just giving us a short synopsis of all that happened in the life of Rehoboam. And his total life, when God looked at his life, God said that was an evil life. Not because he was an evil man and did a lot of evil things, but because he didn't do what he knew he should do.
Right. Yeah.
To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. He tries to hide his chastisement from the people. He humbles himself again, verse 12. Verse 14, he did evil and prepared not his heart. Over and over and over again, we see that Rehoboam did something great, and then he relaxed. God sent judgment, he repented of that, did better, and then he relaxed. And it kind of sounds like a lot of people, don't it?
Yes.
That maybe you'll do right for a while, and then you kind of slip back off into the where you was before. When the preacher gets up and preaches a message from the Word of God revealing our sin, we say, you're right, we get right about it, but next week we're right back in the same place that we were. This is the kind of person that God cannot use like he could use somebody that is serving the Lord with all his heart. And the reason for this is because he didn't prepare his heart. That's the point. That's the point. And then last of all, we see the problem with his compromise. Y'all know this. Verse number 10, instead of, which that I circled those two words, the instead of there. Rehoboam has, Solomon has made these 300 shields of gold. And it's kind of, you remember, the Queen of Sheba said she had heard of the glory of the kingdom of Solomon, the kingdom of Israel. She come and when she saw it, she said, the half has not been told.
Right?
We use that to talk about heaven, and I think it applies. But she was talking about Solomon and his kingdom. This glory. What was she talking about? Well, the temple overlaid with all this gold all around, everything. The palace of Solomon, all the everything. But they said when the king would come out in his official garments and all of this, he'd come out, and outside of the temple there would be 150 soldiers on one side and 150 soldiers on the other side carrying these gold shields. And the sun would hit on the gold shields and they would shine and sparkle.
Right.
And you could imagine the glory that it would look like, amen, when Solomon comes out. Well, now the king of Egypt stole those.
Yeah.
And Rehoboam does not want to appear like he's been judged by God. He doesn't want to admit that things are as bad as they really are. And so he just made some cheap imitations.
Right.
Try to look like everything's just like it always has been.
Right.
Instead of which? How many things do we do instead of?
Yeah.
Because the presence of God is not really there. God is not really, we're not really obedient to God's will in our life. And so we have to do something instead of which. Some people shout and run the aisles to cover up their lack of spirituality.
Right.
Brother Simpson was preaching on that some this morning. You hear other people shout, and you shout because you realize this is the time to shout. But there's nothing on the inside.
Right.
You're just masking what is going on.
Yep.
Rehoboam didn't want to admit that the glory has departed.
Right.
Think about this. Brass is not necessarily cheap, but compared to gold, it's very cheap. Gold, you find, you mine it, and you take it through the fire and you purify it. Brass is an alloy. You have to mix two different materials together to make a counterfeit.
Yep.
Amen? It's durable, but it's not as durable as gold. Amen? It'll shine, but it'll fade. Amen. It'll fade. It's got copper in it. It'll fade and it'll discolor, and you got to go shine. You have to polish your brass. There's a lot of people, that's what they spend their time doing, is polishing their brass so it looks like gold.
Right.
Just trying to do something, preparing to make everybody believe that I'm as good as what I say I am. I'm serving the Lord. I'm as good a Christian. And all we're doing is polishing brass. Amen. Instead of what are we doing instead of what God said to do? Because we can't do that. Amen. Are we satisfied with a cheap and flimsy excuse, substitute, or are we trying to do our best to operate in divine power and not in human effort? Amen. What describes your life today? Are you like Rehoboam? You're a pretty good fella, but just don't care to determine to serve the Lord with all your heart. Amen. There's a lot of people, I'm convinced, a lot of people just go through the motions and do what they think a Christian's supposed to do. And they don't have the power and the presence of God in their life because they've never set their heart to do what's right. Amen. To follow the Lord. Lord, help us to be obedient to the Lord. Amen. Finish.